Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons taught this morning. Thank you for the gift that your word is to us. And Father, we would ask that our hearts be open, that your spirit would teach us, that you would allow us to grow in your grace to touch lives this week as we go back to our world outside of these walls. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was talking with a client this week. She was a friend before she was a client. Her whole family is clients. They have a family business. She's been doing the work for her family for about 10 years, and she called me up and she said, well, this is happening, and I won't bore you with the details, but she says, this is happening, this, and this, and I need to understand why I'm doing this. I still don't understand quite, you know, how we divide and break down these two things, because they're, you know, we're dealing, now mind you, this is a payroll client, okay, so she's trying to figure out how this particular employee is paid for this side and how particular employee is paid for this side. They do two different jobs, they're paid differently on the different jobs. And we talk back and forth for the longest time. And she keeps telling me what she needs, and I keep trying to explain to her what I think she needs. And we keep going back and forth, and then all of a sudden there is a pause, a time of silence. And she said, oh my gosh, Rich, I'm so stupid. Now mind you, we've talked for about 15 minutes. Trying to figure this out about this particular employee. And she finally said, that employee only does one type of job. There's nothing I have to understand about her. So all of the conversation we had was for naught. But her perspective was, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. Have you ever felt that way? When's the last time you felt dumb? Have any of you not felt dumb today? Because feeling dumb is kind of like sin. You're going to do it, whether you want to or not. You remember the Apostle Paul when he talked about how he didn't want to sin and how the things that he did want to do, he didn't do, and the things he didn't want to do is what he did. You remember that part? That's what dumb feels like sometimes. Well, Paul is writing to a bunch of dummies today. I like to think of it that this isn't just to the church in Ephesus. I don't think it's just to the Ephesians who were in Paul's time. I think it's for us who find ourselves discovering ways to overcomplicate things like the truth of the gospel of Christ. Ray Poppin is a colleague of mine through Maxwell Leadership and my friend and mentor John Maxwell, and he's a pastor in South Carolina, and he said on Facebook last night, he put up a thing, and this is just to prove how sometimes how dumb we are. I think it's wonderful for your church programs. I think it's wonderful for us to be able to engage our community, but Ray put up on Facebook last night, the gospel was never meant to bring people to church. The gospel was meant to bring people to God. You say, but God's in church. Yeah, but still, how easy it is for us to overcomplicate things. And so as Paul's writing to this church at Ephesus in this opening chapter today, I want to assert to you that Paul is giving us a spiritual sandwich. And I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. But you see in your program that today's teaching is called Motivation versus manipulation. Now, just to help me understand where you are, when you feel like someone is motivating you, what's going on? How are you motivated? Talk to me out loud so I can hear. Say again? Action. What do you mean by that? Leading by example, showing us how to do the things we need to do. Good. What else? What else motivates you?
Being able to
Encouragement. Positive support. Was there more with this encouragement? Yeah. Who else wants to tell me something about motivation? Music. Music is motivating. Do you find that? Are you motivated by music, my friend? Heck yeah. If you don't know the history, Paul and I have been playing music at some point or another for the last 35 years. Can you believe that? That means we're old. Wow. Plus, you got a 20-year-old kid, so I know you're old. Now, let me ask you this. Motivation is amazing. But I want to suggest to you that motivation and manipulation are just a hairbreadth's width apart. Very, very short distance. Show of hands, how many have ever felt like you're manipulated? Sure. This congregation's really messed up. Wow. Think about it. There's all kinds of things that try to manipulate us. People try to get us to do certain things, to act in certain ways, to believe certain ideas. I'm challenged right now because I have this amazing young woman who I've not met in person, but she's part of our Maxwell team, and we spent about an hour on the phone the other night, and she's recovering from some things, spiritual things and emotional things and attacks that she never should have had to have gone through. And the challenge is, she goes, sometimes I feel like the church that I grew up in or the ministry I was involved in, all they did was kind of brainwash me to the point that I could do and think like they wanted me to. Well, that's a dangerous place, my friends. How many of you are night owls? Was that a... I'm thinking behind you. I don't know anybody's name, but there's three ladies sitting right there, and it looks like the one on the end kind of... We like to stay up. How many of you are night owls enough to have watched infomercials? If you stay up past 1 a.m., do you know that everything in your life can be fixed, and it can be fixed really quick? You can get thin. You can get healthy. You can get rich. There's all sorts of things to be fixed. And you know what? Those are just brief moments of manipulation. If you just do this, everything else will be fine. And I get really scared that that's what a lot of people think of the church. If you just come and be part of us, your life will be better. If you just... Oh gosh, I shouldn't go here. Yes, I will. If you just give us your money, your life will be better. There's a few televangelists you can still catch in the middle of the night. I was talking about a comedian by the name of Ron White earlier with Paul. Ron is not altogether well, but he talks about a televangelist that he tried to have manipulate him one time. And the first thing he said about him, yeah, that's true. The second thing he said about him, yeah, that's true too. The third thing he said about him, he goes, yeah, he's getting a little freaked out now, Ron White is, and this televangelist says, now do you feel motivated to go and send me $1,000? Ron White goes, close. I thought you were talking about me there for a minute. Friends, this is a spiritual sandwich in Ephesians chapter 1 that Paul is giving to us in much the same way as we feel stupid, we feel dumb, we know these things, but Paul feels there's a need to remind us of these things of God that will become a motivation for us. Not a manipulation, not a way to make us into something that we're not. If you don't walk away from here with anything else this morning, understand that God has never asked you to be anything but you. Did you hear that? God has never asked you to be anything but you. I have so much respect for Paul Martin and his musical abilities. Are you with me on that? God never asked me to be Paul Martin. Same for McCrae. I have so much respect for that young man's music and his gifts and his talents. I go watch him every time I get a chance. But God didn't ask me to be McCrae Martin. And nobody's asking you to be Rich Rader. God is simply asking you to be you. And Paul, in reminding us, in some capacity, reminding the Ephesians, and in essence reminding us, he says, here's what you need to remember. Just in case you get past the point that you realize that just God being God should be motivation enough for us. True? I mean, God is God. And the fact that God loves me should be motivation. But Paul says, just in case you need a little bit more. Paul says in verse 4, he says, guess what? You, as believers, are chosen. Do you know what it's like to be chosen? How many of you were ever the last person chosen in elementary school for your gym class? I hated that. I always liked when I got to be the captain, because then I wasn't going to choose myself last. I was already there. Any other time, though, I was pretty much ready for the basement. But when we realize, in spite of all the ways that we mess up, in spite of all the ways we can be unlovable, and I want you, how many of you here with your spouse? Yeah? Okay. Look at your spouse and say, there are times that you are unlovable. I told you, Paul, I'm going to shake things up and then I'm getting out of town. That is so true with all of us, that there are times in our life when I just can't fathom how God can love me. I'm so unlovable. And yet, Paul says, hey, Rich, dummy, if you need some extra motivation, remember that God considers you to be chosen. That's how crazy he is about you. And in verse 5, he says that we were predestined. We were predestined. Now, that's one of those fancy words that you want to have on Scrabble, because there's a lot of double word chances there. And people get confused, but all it means is that God knew. Not only did he choose us, but he knew he was going to choose us because he knew how good he was in spite of ourselves. God knew where he was headed. And then I love this in verse 6. This is all part of a sandwich. So you could, we got some meat. We got some cheese. Got some vegetables. You see, there's a place called Phil's Deli and Galleon. Has anybody ever been to Phil's Deli and Galleon? They have learned that I want to try everything that they have. And the Galleon Kiwanis gets their lunch from there every week. And I go over on Tuesday and I call Phil's Deli ahead and I say, hey, it's Rich Rader from Kiwanis. And they're like, hey, what time are you going to be here? They have stopped asking what I want because they know that I want them to surprise me with a sandwich, because a new sandwich has different layers on it, new flavors, new experiences. All of these steps are ways that God is reminding us how precious we are in this spiritual sandwich. So we're chosen, we're predestined. In verse 6, he says, we're being accepted to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Not only did God pick me, but God knew he was going to pick me. There was no way God was not going to pick me. And when he picked me, he reminded me that I belong. Have you ever felt like you didn't belong? Like you just didn't fit in. God says, you're not going to be in that position with me. You're going to always belong with me. you're going to always feel like you matter with me. But Paul says, if that's not enough, if it's not enough for you to know that you've been chosen, that you were chosen ahead of time, that you were accepted, he decides to put a little bit of maybe some tomato and lettuce on this spiritual sandwich when he says that in verse 7, you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Did you hear what that said? That forgiveness that God grants to us has nothing to do with us. There is nothing I can do to get God's forgiveness. He gives it to me. And how much more courageous does that make me be? When I know, have you ever tried something for the first time and when you were doing it, you were scared that it was not going to work out? I used to have I still have it, I just, because of my disability, can't ride it anymore. But I used to have a bicycle that I rode everywhere. And I remember the first time I had that bicycle at a hill. And it wasn't just any hill, if you know Mansfield. It was the intersection of Park Avenue West and Trimble. And I was facing uphill. I was going southbound on Trimble. I was north of Park Avenue. I had pedals that really weren't pedals. They were those clippy things that clipped into your shoes. Now, I'm very fast to say I thank God for his grace because I don't have much of my own. And so I had to start. I had to have the wherewithal to get my shoes attached to the bike. I had to get through the intersection with the momentum going uphill, and I had a line of cars behind me. And I would not recommend it, but if they hit you, that hurts. I was a little anxious. But you know what? I stayed in the middle of the lane. I got across Park Avenue. I was still going uphill just a little bit. And once I got everything going, I moved to the side, and I am sitting here today because I survived. What's my attitude when I come back to that intersection the next time? I can do it. I did it. If I did it once, I can do it again. And I think about this when I think about the fact that there is nothing I can do to earn my own forgiveness, that redemption has been provided to me. And if I know that God has forgiven me because he loves me, accepts me, has predestined me, has redeemed me, all of those things, it makes me more courageous to take chances for him. I mean, maybe you're sitting in this room and you're thinking, you know, I don't ask me to tell anybody about Jesus. Don't ask me to love somebody who's not lovable. Take a chance. If you fail forward, at least the forward motion is there. But if you don't take a chance, you never get an opportunity to experience all the things that God wants us to experience through all of these promises, these gifts that Paul is reminding us. Now, go back. Paul should remind us that we should be motivated to serve God for one reason. He's God. Period. But Paul is just helping us to remember, to rehearse the things that are so important, that we're chosen, that we're predestined, that we're accepted, that we're redeemed, that we've been informed in verse 9. That we have learned the things of God by the Word of God, by the people of God, by the Spirit of God. And then he says, we are heirs. We are heirs. I don't know how important that makes you feel, but when Paul in this passage says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, if you think about some of the words that are in this passage, if you think about what it means to be an heir with Christ, to have Christ as our brother, to have all the good things that God has promised to give to humanity, given to us, not because we deserve it, not because were that special. But in God's eyes, He is that good. He is that wonderful. He is that giving. In fact, He says He's not willing to give that up. Because the last point, in addition to all those layers of this sandwich, God says that we are sealed. We are sealed. In verse 13, in Him you also, whom you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Friends, our life should be motivated by God and God alone. But Paul wants to make sure that if we somehow forget that, that here's a few things that God has done for us that will even cause us to be more motivated. When we experience manipulation, when we experience the twisting of our arms to accomplish something, to make us think a certain way, to act a certain way, to do a certain thing, we need to be very, very careful and realize that manipulation is so close to motivation, yet motivation through the truth of what God has done for us compares to nothing else. And I called this a sandwich, and here's why. All of those things that I just told you, all of those things that Paul just told us, came from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 13. Now, if you have your program in front of you, what was our lesson today? Ephesians 1, what? Three through 14. I just talked to you about those motivational factors in 4 through 13. So what do we have left? Verse 3 and verse 14. Check this out. Paul puts on the top bun of the sandwich by telling us, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." How many blessings? Every. How many blessings is every? All. You know, there are so many times we miss that. And you say, "Well, I don't miss that. I know how much God has blessed me. I think it's a wonderful thing." But have you ever prayed for a blessing? "Father, bless me with it." You've already been blessed. In completion. Everything you need for ministry and service in this age of grace has already been given to us. And if you need reminded of that, those layers in the sandwich will help us remember how we've been accepted and loved and redeemed and sealed and informed and all those other things. I dare you this week to have a note so that when you pray and you ask for a blessing, mark it down and see how many times you are asking for something that God has said, "I've already given you." That's the top bun. Paul puts on the bottom bun by saying, after we remember all these things that God has done, that Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings, everything that we could ever imagine that we need. And we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to make it guaranteed ours until Christ returns, either to redeem the entire world or until He returns to take us individually at the time of our death. That is the God that you and I serve. That is the God that motivates us. That is not a God that manipulates us. That is a God who wants to have done everything that He could have to accomplish in us everything we need. May your perspective, be such that God has given you everything that is need. I want to try, before we close, I want to try this. This was done for me by a speaker out in Denver last week. Reminds us of perspective. Hold your hand up, one finger extended. Now, I've never done this, so I'm hoping it works. We'll see. It worked twice for me when I was being the one instructed. And take your finger and begin making a circle clockwise. Are we doing that? You're looking up at it, it's clockwise. Bring it down and look above it. What direction is it going? Counterclockwise. Did it work? Some of you are lost. Some of you are like, what's he doing? This is the dance that I told you. No. Nothing has changed about my finger. It's still going the same direction, still doing the same thing. It's going clockwise from this perspective, and it's going counterclockwise from this perspective. Nothing has changed. Understand that perspective is everything. The perspective that we look at God with will give us the way we will serve. This is a God who loves you, who cares about you, who is absolutely wildly nuts for you and never wants you to be anything but who He made you to be. Let's give Him thanks. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you teach us. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and learn about how you have blessed us beyond anything we can imagine. Lord, we ask that we would not seek more blessing, but that we would seek to have the perspective of living in that which you have already done, the blessings you've already given us. We give you thanks for each person here. May we change the world when we walk back into it from these walls. In Jesus' name, amen.